This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Listen, yes, sir, my frame of reference on certain things, it's not going to come from Shakespeare. That's just all there is to it. It might come from Austin Powers.
I don't think there were any thoughts to the contrary on that.
I just want to clarify. So it almost sounded as if you were disappointed because you had different expectations of me, which would completely be on you.
It's not that. It's just one of those moments where I rethink where I went wrong in life, right? Like, that happens, and I think maybe I should have put poker to the side and passed the bar exam. Maybe. Fleeting moment. Nonetheless, love being here, but a fleeting moment.
I have a feeling that if Jaden Daniels doesn't go second, you might have a little more than a fleeting moment
there
about that one.
There are going to be some conversations if he doesn't go second overall. Thankfully, he's back to minus 500, but who knows what the hell that means. If you got a surprise coming at number two and it's anything but Daniels, Evan and Smallman can deal with Friday themselves.
Well, listen, they don't. I told you earlier, Washington has 6 picks in the top 100, so the last thing they need is picks. They're not trading them. They're not going to trade. And even so, as long as he still goes second, what does it matter?
Yeah.
Right?
I just go second. I don't care who it is. Just go second.
Here's what I want to know. As I am getting ready with Mike Tannenbaum, with Chris Canty, with Ian Fitzsimmons, with Jordan Reed on Thursday night.
Tannenbaum going to show up Thursday night to work with you? Didn't show up for us.
Oh, he'll hear about it. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Put him on the spot.
You know, the TV guys, they're the worst. Because they just think they're better than us.
And that includes you. The brakes a bit.
That includes you.
Your boy does a little TV work here and there. 4 p.m. Eastern today, ESPN2, ESPN Bet Live. Come for all the excitement. The TV guys are solid. I'll tell you what. The radio guys, they're good people. You go have a beer with them. The TV guys, you got to get away from them as quick as possible. It's too much talk about suits and hair and product. I'll tell you, when you're in the makeup room here at ESPN, little secret, dudes, far bigger divas than anybody else. Far bigger.
Randy
Scott, Streisky, those are the first two, top of the list.
Yep.
Big diva attitude.
What is Randy Scott's biggest complaint if everything's not quite right? Is it the shade of the tan?
Oh, I don't think it's not a complaint. It's just there's a lot that's required to get the performance going. Pre-performance, there's a lot.
Complaint's not the word. What would be his biggest concern? Is it hair? What is it?
It's a great question. I don't know. Those two are hilarious.
Like when he walks in the room, he knows there's a wild card somewhere in what he's about to look at, right? He's a handsome guy. He's striking. Like, I walk in.
Oh, it's the pocket square. It's the pocket square. What you see on TV is a nice, clean, crisp, white pocket square, presidential fold straight across.
So let me ask you, I'm interested that you brought this up. Let me ask you a question.
Are you going to stomp the punchline? Because it feels like you just stomped the punchline.
Oh, I didn't mean to. I didn't know there was a punchline.
There was a sentence that you interrupted. Of course, there was more to it. When you jump in mid-sentence, how are we supposed to get to the end?
When it gets to something that I find interesting, I don't care what the rest of whatever you have to say is.
Okay, then let's jump ahead. What is it that
no,
is so
please finish.
No,
forbid, I finished that.
No.
I stepped away from the brilliance of the Fortenbaugh comedy.
You asked a question about Randy Scott that I was trying to answer.
All right, let's wipe the slate. The slate clean for a second.
Go ahead.
Answer the question about Randy Scott that I asked, which was, when Randy Scott's there, what's the biggest concern?
It's the pocket square, because he never has one. He takes a paper towel, and he folds it, and he puts it in his pocket.
Oh.
No one knows it. It just looks like a clean, white, crisp pocket square folded in the presidential style. It's really just either a napkin or a paper towel. It's brilliant.
So it kind of ties into what I was going to say if I had just not stomped all over you.
Yeah, if you had waited 90 seconds, tops.
Here's what I would ask the question. This is a question I have to ask. Excuse me. I am yesterday at, looking to pick up maybe a new sport coat at the Big and Tall store, right? I won't mention any names, but you know who you are. And I thought this was kind of a cop-out, okay? I put on this sport coat, fits nicely and all this, and it's got inside the pocket just the pocket itself that pulls up to be your pocket square.
Oh, okay.
Now, is that copping out? Is that convenience? How would you look at that?
No,
are you
that's the
are you looking at me
going.
Like saying you're ham and egging it here? You're not even trying.
No, that's just the direction we're going. We're getting more and more casual as a society. People don't wear traditional loafers or dress shoes anymore. They wear sneakers that look like dress shoes, or they just go full sneakers. That's mm-hmm. just the style. Like, you know, the idea of not actually doing a pocket square, having a little trick like that, I can see it. That's what people want. They want convenience and they want ease. It's understandable.
It's understandable. It just made me feel like, not knowing enough about style, am I sacrificing credibility in that if I show up with that?
Oh, no. You, credibility? No. It's impeccable. There's nothing that can stop that.
You know, you never would know it, but I did 8 years of television, and I was a striking
I've seen
figure.
You on First Take in the summers. You do
yes.
great.
Listen, you get the right shade of contour and cover on the dome. It's a little easier on the eye than you'd expect.
Those poor makeup girls, they see you coming and they're thinking, ugh. It used to be one of these days.
They don't have the air gun where they would just spray it all over your head. They had it back in the day. It was a half-hour project.
They have it here. They have it here.
I've got Carlin coming in. Hold my call.
Call Sherman Williams.
It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. The one thing that was very interesting this week, it always catches my attention, is whenever there's an anonymous poll of players in any league really talking about organizations, how they treat people, coaches, teammates, other players in the league, who's overrated, who's underrated. So The Athletic had an anonymous poll of NBA players on a number of matters over the last couple of seasons. And how about this? We're going to compare 2023's results to 2024.
Okay.
When they are talking about the GOAT, who is the greatest player of all time, according to the players. Last year, okay, Michael Jordan, 58%. LeBron James, 33%.
Whoa.
Kobe, 7%. This year, Michael Jordan, 46. LeBron, 42. Kobe, 10%. So LeBron has closed that gap by 9% in the span of a year. Granted, these are all different players who are being asked that. But does that catch your attention at all?
Well, there's several elements that catch my attention on that. Number one, the gap. Look, Jordan dropping 12% in 1 year is quite significant. I would like to know how many people were polled, how many people were polled last year that are also polled this year. I'd love to know the polling data. If we could get Nate Silver on the phone and have him sort through it, this is right up his wheelhouse.
Is 538 still a thing?
I don't believe so, but yeah. he's got a new book coming out. He's got a lot going on. Big election right around the corner, so you know he's busy. I would like to know the polling data, because if it's a completely different sample set, then we get dramatic changes, and I can see that. I like the growth of Kobe. That's interesting. I would have thought between last year and this year, LeBron would have had the edge. I mean, we're polling guys that are playing in the LeBron James era. You would think they would be quicker to defend their guy than Jordan, because every time they turn on TV, there are former players from back in the day and TV talking heads. And I say that with all love, but that are constantly talking about how much more challenging things were back in the day. Today's NBA is soft. Back then, it was tougher. Jordan played in a tougher era. Look at what they were able to get away with defensively. You would just think there'd be the natural camaraderie, whether it's last year or this year, of guys rallying to defend LeBron.
Yeah, I the number dropped so considerably on Jordan. I was very surprised by that. I mean, 12%, that's a big number, even if the sample size, I'm going to operate under the assumption it was the same.
Yeah.
Even if the players are different. There are a ton of players, I would say close to the majority of the players, who do not remember seeing any of Michael Jordan playing.
Right? Like now. If you were born in 2000, you're 24 years old, essentially.
Yeah.
That's after Jordan retired.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, you're at the tail end.
We don't
end
count the Wizard years. You were 3 years old, and there's no way you remember that.
Exactly. Like, if you were born in 90, you're 34, but when Jordan won that last title, what was that, 98? So you were 7, 8 years old? Like, you might have some memories of that, but for a lot of Jordan's greatness, you were not, you know, cognizant of any of that. I have a 7-year-old right now. He lived through the Warrior dynasty. He watched a ton of it, but he's not going to be able to recall it when he's 20, 30 years old. He's not going to remember that much of it.
So do you think that a year from now, when they ask this again, will LeBron have passed him? Because we keep getting further and further away from it.
It's trending that way. But the thing is, it's such a radical departure from last year to this year with the 12% dip. I would say no. Are we going to do a completely different group of people on the vote next year? Because if we do, then we could end up with completely different results. So I would say no. But I mean, I just thought these guys would be quicker to defend LeBron than apparently they are. Even the older guys, you would think that you'd be so tired of hearing about how much tougher the game was back in the day that you would support your boy just out of camaraderie's sake. Maybe they don't like LeBron.
Maybe, but I have trouble believing that.
So do I. You would figure he's the guy. He kind of ushered in a big era for all these guys. Like the whole player mobility thing, that's him. He started that, forming super teams in Miami, moving around, showing all these guys that they could call their shots, that they were the business and the teams needed them, not the other way around.
Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save. 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and at progressive.com. Are we trending toward two shocking selections in the top 10 on Thursday night in the NFL draft? It's next. Did I sell that? We're all in. We're all in on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
We're going to keep this one simple. It's the Dallas Mavericks. We're going to bet over on their team total. It's 108.5 points. So we're betting that they score 109 or more points. They scored 97 points in game one with a deplorable shooting performance. They couldn't hit anything. They scored 8 points in the second quarter of that game. 8 in an NBA quarter of basketball with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, 8 points in a quarter. Yet they still found their way to 97 points. Positive regression tonight, better shooting effort, a little bigger sense of urgency considering you're in the old one hole. Dallas Mavericks team total over 108.5 points.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. And as you were talking about that, just a little bit of interesting notes from that game is the line just completely shifted, did it not? The Mavericks and the Clippers, right?
Yeah, there has to be something going on there because Dallas was as high as -3 this morning, and now they're as low as +2. That's a 5-point move. First thought is Kawhi Leonard, is he going to play tonight? How is it you could play tonight, but you couldn't play 2 days ago? That's the first thing that's going to come to mind for me. Unable to play in game one, now possibly playing in game two? Like that 48 hours changed everything with this?
Well, he was at shoot-around just a little while ago, and apparently that was newsworthy. That was within the last hour, so there's no other definitive statements as to whether or not he will play tonight, but that's certainly something that is worth watching here in the coming hours. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Now, here's what's really interesting, Joe. We have had a couple of bizarre changes when it comes to quarterbacks and where they could end up in this draft. First of all, you brought this to my attention earlier with the Chargers. The odds for the Chargers to select a quarterback have changed dramatically in the last 24 hours. And again, to be clear, that's not for the number five pick to be a quarterback, but for the Chargers themselves to take a quarterback. What has that changed from?
Total head scratcher here. So when the markets opened, ESPN bet a few weeks ago, months ago, because some of these markets roll out at different times, the Chargers using their first overall pick in the draft, whether they stay at five, whether they drop back to 10, whether they drop all the way down to the third round, whenever they make their first pick, if that pick is used on a quarterback, it was 100-1. Makes sense? They've got Justin Herbert, good quarterback on a long-term deal. Yesterday, that price plummeted to as low as 15-1. It raised a few eyebrows. This morning, that price dropped to 6-1, raising even more eyebrows. The Chargers to use their first pick on the quarterback position, 6-1. Do with that what you will, but something's happening. There's some sort of smoke somewhere that is causing that movement.
Do we think that maybe that is J.J. McCarthy related in the relationship with Harbaugh at that point?
I think that's the natural correlation there because it doesn't sound like the Chargers are trying to trade up into the top three, which would take Daniels and Williams and May likely out of the mix. And all the talk Harbaugh's had about McCarthy, you got to figure if he loves the guy so much, you know, why don't you marry him?
You don't have to put on the voice when you're imitating me.
I know.
Won't you marry him? Won't you pick him? Big tough guy. Yes, I said that a few weeks ago. The quarterback odds, according to Evan right now on ESPN Bet, this is to be taken by the Chargers, Evan. Is that correct? McCarthy is 8-1. Nix is 70-1. Penix Jr., 80-1. So, yes, naturally, people are trying to put two and two together here for this sudden change. Then there's something we have talked about for the last couple of days, and that's Adam Schefter talking about the Atlanta Falcons. He was on Sportsmanlike Today, potentially taking a quarterback at number 8. This would be the third time that Adam has made reference to this.
Well, in regards to Penix, yeah, there's been some speculation, right or wrong. You never know exactly how accurate it is, that the Falcons like Penix. They've had workouts with him. They've had visits with him. They spent a lot of time. And the one thing I do know is that the Falcons do want to add a quarterback in this draft if they can. That would be ideal. And do I think 8 is going to be the spot they take Penix? I'd be surprised, but I don't rule anything out. If they wind up moving back and they're a team that moves back in the first round, well, that makes it more possible.
I personally believe that this has more to do with trying to just talk it up if four quarterbacks go early and trying to get somebody to be desperate and afraid that another quarterback might go at 8. Maybe we need to move up and offer the Falcons something pretty good. But that's just me. I think that smokescreen. What do you think?
I don't understand the smokescreen. This is the problem. Someone has to explain this to me. Atlanta just spent 4 years and $180 million on Kirk Cousins to be their starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a report a couple months later, right before the draft, that they are interested in Michael Penix possibly at number 8 overall. Why? Now, if it's true, let's say that report is just true. They are interested in him at number 8. Why? Someone has to explain that to me. And I could be, they want to groom him for a couple years, you know, but Cousins is coming off the injury. Well, if Cousins is coming off the injury and you're concerned to this extent, why in the hell did you give him 4 years, $180 million? That makes no sense. Those two don't align. So if it's not that, and maybe you just want to groom a guy for a couple years behind Cousins because you think, well, it's a 4-year deal, but we're only going to have him for two, you're really wasting a high asset on a team that's ready to win now. You could use that top 10 pick on a defensive player that could help bolster that D. Like, you can get something there. You can get another wide receiver and make that offense incredible. So that's surprising to me. Now, let's go down the path that it's not true. They don't actually like Penix at 8, but it's a smokescreen. What the hell kind of smokescreen is this? You're going to trick me into thinking you want a quarterback after you just spent 4 years and $180 million on Cousins? Why would I believe that? Let's say I'm the Raiders and I need a quarterback. Why would I see this report and believe that this is true?
Because during this time of year, yes, it is lying season, but when you're a team that is in the 11, 12, 13 range, all of whom need quarterbacks, and you see four go off the board and let's say the first five picks, you get nervous. is one of the other two guys going to beat me to it and go get the guy that I want? That's just a little seed that is planted to make it a little bit more urgent. That's all. That's all. And I don't even need you to believe it to be fact. All I need you to think is, I just need you to think about it for a second.
But why would, but what I'm asking is, why would I? Now, if I heard...
Some people are human and react irrationally, and some organizations, as we know, are not to be taken seriously. Raiders.
I'm trying to figure out why any team at all would say to themselves, oh my God, Atlanta could be interested in Penix. This is a problem for us. Why would Atlanta be interested in Penix? That it comes down to that. Like, why would you be interested in Penix? What would make you think that's actually happening? Like, if you would fall for something like that, if that's the piece of news that gets you to trade up, you got big problems. I would love to face you on the poker table. I'd absolutely love to see you on the poker table. I'd have all you right. Laying down pocket kings pre-flop.
So let me ask you this. If either one of these things were to happen, which would you be more shocked by? The Chargers taking a quarterback and potentially trading Justin Herbert, or the Falcons taking Michael Penix?
The Falcons. Because if it's Harbaugh going after McCarthy, it's like, okay, Harbaugh's earned the right to be crazy. He is crazy, but he's crazy like a fox. He has a ton of success. He loves McCarthy. McCarthy's his guy. You trade Herbert. Herbert hasn't won anything. So you move him. You get some assets in return. You bring in McCarthy. I can at least connect some of the dots. It's crazy. Let me make that clear. It's crazy. There's a $100+ million dead cap charge. It's a crazy notion. But I think the idea of the Falcons drafting Penix at 8, it's not a knock against Penix, given that you just got Cousins, makes no sense to me. That one makes zero sense to me. What about you?
I think if the Chargers take anything but Joe Alt, I am going to be shocked. I am going to be shocked.
That's a very, very specific answer.
Yeah. And it's based solely on what Harbaugh has always been about, and that is about winning in the trenches. That is firmly about that. And I have a chance to have two outstanding bookend tackles with him and Rashawn Slater. Count me in.
Is Rashawn Slater going to kick over to right?
I think he might, yeah.
He would have to, would he not?
Yeah.
Given that Alt has the propensity to want to play left?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
All right.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget, the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as the T-Wolves host the Suns. Presented by Indeed, coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations and on SiriusXM Channel 80. That is Sean Kelly and Corey Alexander on the call for that game. We still have so many more questions about the draft, and we're going to get some answers specifically on the New York Giants and NFC East in moments. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
It's time to have some fun.
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit.
This is the most fascinating NFL draft I've ever been associated with.
The Chicago Bears select
the NFL Draft, round one, Thursday at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Sal Powell, Two words right there, my friends, that are synonymous with the NFL and ESPN. He is covering his 30th NFL draft for the network. And Sal Palantonio, ESPN NFL reporter, joins us right now. He will be with the Giants for ESPN at the draft. Sal, it's Chris and Joe. We are gearing up. We are a little bit, over 48 hours away. Are you ready to make the trip up the turnpike?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Exit 4 to exit 16W. I got my easy pass polished. Tomorrow morning, I'll stop at a little Dunkin' Donuts, get a medium with extra cream and extra sugar, of course, because I'm crazy. And we'll head up there. We'll be mau-mauing Brian Daboll and Joe Shane and Pat Hanlon and whoever would love to, you know, buy Uncle Sal lunch at some point. We're looking forward to it.
Sal, let's just start here. With the Giants, do you expect them to stay at 6, or do you think they move up?
I think they're trying to move up. It's clear, all indications are, that they are in a quarterback hunt. They had early visits from Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. They all went out and visited with Michael Penix Jr. They had Russell Wilson in to kick the tires before Pittsburgh got a hold of them. So they are in a quarterback hunt. There's no question about it. Staying at 6, they probably are not going to get one. If the Patriots ask for a king's ransom at 3, Chris, then the Giants can't meet their demands, or Minnesota can't meet their demands, and the Patriots stay at number 3. And by Denver trading for Zach Wilson yesterday, what does that tell us? Well, it tells us Denver's in the weeds at the quarterback position for sure. That's number 1. But it also tells us that Denver tried to go up, didn't have enough ammo to do it, and needed an insurance policy that either New England or Arizona was asking for too much. So maybe Minnesota's in the same boat at 11. They won't be able to get up, which means if anybody wants to dance, they may have to dance with the New York Giants. And the Giants may either go to 3 or to 4 to get either McCarthy or Drake May. I believe that they are interested in either one of them. Yes.
Do you know who they prefer?
I don't. I don't think they know specifically. I think they would be happy with either. Myself, I would be happy with either. My number one, other than Caleb Williams, is Jaden Daniels, 100%. I heard Field Yates say on yesterday's show, first draft with Mel Kiper Jr., that the quarterback position at the NFL right now is all about, quote, optionality, unquote. The guy who won the last 2 Super Bowls and has won 3, Patrick Mahomes II, can play off script, can play off schedule, can drop back, quick release. Jaden Daniels has those traits. He's got a great, short, compact delivery. He's got very good deep ball accuracy. He's got the big C, charisma, when he walks in the building. Like Patrick Mahomes, he's got personality all over the place. Terrifically coachable player. To me, Jaden Daniels, if Washington doesn't take Jaden Daniels, and I'm Gerard Mayo, I am jumping up to the table with the card, and I take Jaden Daniels, and he'll pack Gillette Stadium forever.
Sal Palantonio, ESPN NFL reporter and host of the NFL Matchup Show. The draft special with Greg Cosell, Darius Butler, and Sal Pal, now on Disney Plus, also airing Thursday on ESPN2. Do not miss it. The NFL Matchup Show is outstanding throughout the course of the season. You do not want to miss it leading into the draft. All right, Sal, where do you think the biggest surprises could lie here in the top 10 of this draft?
Well, I agree with Mel Kiper Jr. when you had that promo, and I heard him say it on the air live, and I couldn't agree with him more. This is my 30th draft, and I think this is the most fascinating draft, without a doubt. I mean, and I covered the Eli Manning trade. I was there for the original Ray Lewis draft with the Baltimore Ravens, their first draft. I've seen a lot of stuff go on with the NFL draft, but I think this is the most fascinating because the NFL needs quarterbacks so badly, and you have these 4 quarterbacks at the top of the draft and maybe 4 more who can fit the bill at the NFL level. So I think it's super fascinating, but I think the biggest surprise is going to happen in the heart of the order, 3, 4, 5, 6, right there. That's where to keep an eye on things. Somebody is going to make an outrageous offer to either New England or Arizona. There are so many desperate teams, desperate for a quarterback. Somebody's going to make a big offer, and somebody is going to make a big splash in this draft. And keep your eye on the team that I cover all the time, because Howie Roseman has made more trades in the draft in this century than everybody but Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is now on the Pat McAfee show. So Howie Roseman's number one. And he loves to trade. He loves to trade up. The Eagles have demonstrated, Chris, that they are all in, Super Bowl or now. The win now, Super Bowl or bust, right? Offseason, they added 17 new players. 17 new players. That's more than any team that made the playoffs last year. And they got the prize of free agency, your guy Saquon Barkley. And Roseman gave out, get this, $164.8 million in guarantees to existing players on the team, more than any NFC playoff team from last year. If that doesn't scream all in, I don't know what does. So look for the Eagles to try to jump up and get a blue chip player.
Who would they be looking for, Sal? The cornerback position?
I think they have to be looking corner, but here's the deal, right, Joe? Since 2002, the Eagles haven't drafted a corner in the first two rounds. They haven't done it. They have no history of doing it, no less moving up in the first round to do it. So it would be totally outside of their philosophy, totally fly in the face what they do. But to me, and I really agree with Mel Kiper on this, Terrion Arnold, the cornerback Alabama, is the only guy that you would really go up to get. And what the Eagles need, and they've taken a lot of guys from the SEC lately, the Alabama players, Georgia players, it totally would be within the realm of what they've done. They need somebody who's got speed. They need somebody who's got toughness, because if you're in Vic Fangio's defense and you're playing corner, you need to play up at the line of scrimmage, press coverage, and then you have to be a willing tackler in the running game. And I think Arnold is definitely one of those guys. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa fits a lot of those things, but I don't think they have to move up to get him. If they do, go ahead and do it, because I think he fits the bill as well.
Sal, looking forward to it. You got the NFL Matchup Show Draft Special with Greg Cosell and Darius Butler, hosted by Sal, now on Disney Plus, also Thursday, ESPN2. And he will be with the Giants on Thursday night for his 30th NFL draft. You're the best, Sal. Appreciate it, brother.
I told my wife I was going to be on with you guys, and she said, Chris Carlin, I love when you're on the radio doing games with Chris Carlin. I hope you're going to do those this year. I said, I absolutely hope so.
I hope so, too. And as far as Joe's concerned, his wife not as thrilled when he's working with me. Surprisingly. Thanks, Sal. Appreciate it.
Thanks, brother. See you guys. Thanks, Joe.
Sal Palantonio. Sal said, Eagles are all in. They're not the only NFC East team taking that approach. It's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're very proud of our personnel, very proud of this roster, very much think this roster, without knowing right now how much the rookies are going to contribute. We're very, very feel good about the promise of the team that we're going to have this year with this roster. We will have young players step up, no names that become names, because names have left, and so those guys have got to step up. You cannot play and run a team in the NFL without counting on this dynamic going on. So we're in an ambiguous business when it comes to projecting, but how do we feel about where we've been in this free agency? We feel great about what we've been in free agency. All in, all in, all in. We're all in with these young guys coming on, and we're all in with this draft.
I got five all-ins right there. Five.
Just in case anyone was doubting the severity of it.
It was almost as if he was aware that somebody had bet the over and made sure to squeeze them in before the end of the soundbite.
I think he's realizing how much fun everyone's been having with that commentary, so he's kind of playing it up right now, which is, you know, in his natural charm. Hey, it's interesting. It's, to be honest, for a team that's done nothing and very few think could actually challenge for a Super Bowl, there's a lot of interest in them. Like, who are the comparable teams to the Cowboys? Like, teams that might make the playoffs, but no one really thinks anything of them and had a quiet offseason in terms of moves. Is there anyone else there out there that's been like that?
I'd have to think about that. I mean,
like
teams
Cleveland,
like the Cowboys.
Like, maybe like Cleveland, right? Like, Cleveland could make the playoffs, but I don't think anyone thinks they're going to win the AFC. The offseason appears to have been somewhat quiet. But no one's really talking about Cleveland yet. We
Is
talk
Baltimore
about Dallas
like
every
that?
Week.
Baltimore did a few things in the postseason, but in the offseason, but Baltimore is disappointed in the postseason.
Yeah, I don't know if people are buying into them to be Super Bowl contenders, but Derrick Henry was a pretty big splash.
Yeah.
So you figure there's that. But like, who's been quiet like Dallas, essentially doing nothing, and also not really a Super Bowl contender? Because the Cowboys aren't a real contender. Like Cleveland. I think Cleveland might be there.
Okay.
I don't remember them doing a whole lot in free agency, and
no.
They're probably good enough to get to the playoffs, but their win total's like 8.5.
Does anybody consider Miami one?
They brought in a bunch of dudes, didn't they? I know
they lost
a bunch
some guys, but it feels like a lot of what they did was kind of under the radar.
No one is taking them seriously outside of Miami.
Yeah.
No one is. Just because
Buffalo?
Last year that they really delivered on that narrative. Like
How about
early
Buffalo?
In the year, I think people believe Buffalo can contend. And Buffalo had the offseason where they lost Diggs. Buffalo made a lot of noise from a personnel standpoint this offseason. Trading Diggs was a big move.
Right. Most of it was in case of losing guys, especially, and also on defense, too.
Right. Like, so. The Cowboys didn't do anything.
Well, here's the point. The Cowboys are in a class of ineptitude all on their own. How about that?
I mean, here we go. Like, it's another year. Jerry's very good at making sure he's in the news. This is no surprise. This has been discussed before. It's a team that's going to sell, because they're going to pack the fan base. They're going to get the 4 o'clock Eastern starts almost every week when we're watching them. They're going to get a lot of primetime games because they draw interest. This is how they draw interest. They don't have the money in terms of salary cap space to actually do anything. They're not going to do anything really all that splashy in the draft because they're not drafted until the mid-20s. They couldn't do anything in free agency. Like, they're really not that interesting of a team outside of the owner. Think about it like this. How interesting is that team? Is Dak Prescott an interesting individual to you?
No.
Not really, no.
No, absolutely
not. CeeDee Lamb
isn't
all that interesting. Micah Parsons is interesting. But, and this isn't a knock on those guys, but they're just not really an interesting roster. They're not they don't have an interesting coaching staff. Like, Harbaugh's an interesting guy. McCarthy is not. Again, these are not knocks. They're just not all that interesting. But the owner is so wild in how he goes about his business, how he talks to the media, what he says, who he signs, who he doesn't sign. He's interesting. He is very interesting.
Yeah, I get it. I want to hear a little more from him. Like, interesting isn't doing it for me right now with Jerry, but maybe it's because I'm someone that's not necessarily going to buy in so easily to whatever it is he's selling. Now, here he is on not being able to surround Dak with what they used to.
Dak has enjoyed in his career that we're proud of some of the best supporting cast that you could put around him. And to move forward, we're going to have to diminish that. That's a fact. That's the rules. And so that's our challenge, and to make it work out. Dak, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, I can't even blink on that one.
Yeah, that also was a very subtle way of saying Dak's going to have to make what we have a lot better. You know?
It's amazing that in one sentence you can say you're all in, and then in the next sentence you can tell people, look, it's not as good as it used to be. Like, what?
And then he'll go back and say, I tried to tell you.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. It's like every question is the first question he's ever answered. So he answers a question, and then the next question is completely separate from anything that's ever been said. It's a new approach. It's a new thought process. It's a new take. And then you move to the next question, and it's like the first two never happened, and we're addressing it individually again. It's just fascinating. Like, this is why people want to be rich, because they get to operate like this. You could say anything you want in the public record, and it just doesn't matter. Imagine being able to walk around saying and doing anything you wanted. Jerry Jones gets to do that. Jerry Jones can say anything he wants. We'll all dissect it. We'll talk about it. None of it matters. When they eventually flame out, it's not truly going to matter. It doesn't really affect him at all. It doesn't affect anybody at all. People get bummed out. We talk about it and we move on. Like, I can't think of an example of more time being spent discussing a professional sports team that has produced less than them.
Well, that's 100% accurate.
Well, I mean, there's the Jets. The Jets are talked about quite a bit. I think that's more
of your perception now as a Jet fan, that you take more abuse as Jet fans now that you just joined on to the group than is really probably warranted, which is ridiculous.
Like in basketball, do we have this in basketball? We spend a ton of time on LeBron, but he delivers. Like, he won a title 4 years ago. I know people say, oh, 4 years ago it was the bubble. Dallas doesn't even win playoff games.
See, it's a little different, the dynamic there with the, because it's so star focused as opposed to franchise focused. Like, you're right about LeBron. I don't know that I would look at anybody else and say, God, we talk so much about a guy that doesn't deliver in any way.
What about the Knicks?
But we haven't talked about them in so long. Like, they haven't even been on the radar in so long that maybe they get a little more attention than they should.
They do. For what they've produced, though, over the years, they still get headlines when the opportunity presents itself.
Well, that's
the thing with them.
I feel like that in that one instance, I don't think it happens very often, maybe not as often as you think it happens, but I think that happens because they're almost trying to will it into existence. Will it into being relevant and having a reason to talk about a team that does, you know, it has been so long, Joe. I do get a little tired of the phrase, the NBA is better when the Knicks are good. Yeah, listen, there's no doubt. The energy at Madison Square Garden is great. The NBA is just fine even without the Knicks. I think we've seen that. Because
that's a tried and true adage.
The Knicks haven't played in the NBA in 15, 20 years.
That's a tried and true adage right there that you're knocking down. Yeah, but there it is. It circles back to Dallas. I mean, they're not... It's fascinating. It's not really an interesting coach. It's not much of an interesting roster. It's a team that doesn't overly produce all that great. They win some regular season games, but they get so much attention because this owner is just so damn interesting. Like, let's be honest. We had every opportunity to say, we're not touching this audio today. It's not worth our time. We bought in. We talked about this twice. And the next time he speaks, we'll talk about it again.
You have 20 seconds.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
You have 17 seconds.
Pizza.
Tyrese Haliburton, points plus assists plus rebounds, par. It's 34.5. He was barely involved in game one. We're going to go over that here. Tyrese Haliburton over 34.5 points plus rebounds plus assists.
Concise, brilliant, and no doubt a winner.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin versus Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin versus Joe podcast.